message that the drosh that Nathan gave just a little bit ago really kind of dovetails in with what I've got to speak about this week. And you know, this week, most of the portion is about Noah, or Noah. And that very first sentence describes Noah and the way that Adonai sees Noah, or saw Noah. And this is what it says, Genesis 6:9. These are the genealogies of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among his generation. Noah continually walked with God. He was a righteous man. He was blameless, and he walked with Adonai in all that he did. And this is what Adonai wants from us as well today. Now, we're sinful people. We're not going to be 100% righteous all the time. But it's what we strive to do. It's what we strive to be, to be righteous in all of our ways. Now, the world today confuses righteousness and rightness. They sound the same to the ear, but to the heart of Adonai, they are very different. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today, the difference between righteousness and rightness. Why are they different, and how they bring about different results, not just in our life today, but for eternity. So let's start with definitions. It's always good to start with definitions. So let's start with a definition of rightness. And I would say that in order to be in a state of rightness, you need to be right. So they're kind of the same thing. And when you look up the definition of right, this is what it says. As an adjective, right means morally good, justified, or acceptable, true or correct as a fact. As a noun, right is that which is morally correct, just, or honorable. A moral or legal entitlement to have or obtain something or to act in a certain way. So that's our definition for right or rightness. And these definitions are really kind of good, but they're missing something. The definition is missing what the standard is. And that's because it's written by the world. And the world thinks it's just obvious what the standard is. The world compares itself to itself. The world's definition of rightness is whatever right is for society at the moment. That's how they come up with what is right. So now let's look at a definition of righteousness. Because it's going to sound a bit alike to our ears at first. So righteousness is defined this way: of a person or conduct morally right or justifiable or virtuous. Now, a definition that I saw goes on to say it's quite literally means one who is right. Think of it as the polar opposite of sin. This is still the definition I'm reading. To commit sin is to go against God's design for our lives. Therefore, righteousness is the only living standard that is acceptable for us to stand before the Father. We can see it starts off the same way as right or rightness, talking about morally right. But the standard to be compared is different. Now, it's not the world that sets the standard that we're to be judged by. It's Adonai who sets the standard. Now, another definition that I read says that the Bible standard of human righteousness is God's own perfection in every attribute, every attitude, every behavior, and every word. Thus, God's law, as given in the Bible, both describe his own character and constitute the plumb line by which he measures human righteousness. This definition states that our righteousness. It's every attribute, attitude, behavior, and word. It means that the goal does not matter any more than the action that you take to obtain the goal. And I'm going to be talking about that in just a moment. Of course, it's important to know what it is to be righteous because of what we see in Scripture, which tells us how Adonai feels about righteousness. You know, it's in many places in Scripture, but I'm just going to look in one place. Psalm 11, 4 and 5 says this: Adonai is in his holy temple. Adonai's throne is in heaven. His eyes are watching. His eyelids observe the children of men. Adonai examines the righteous, but the wicked, the one loving violence, his soul hates. So we're told to pursue righteousness and the right things of Adonai. But which is more important to Adonai? The goal or the actions to reach the goal? I would say the actions are really more important to him. He's able to reach goals without us. He can just make it happen. But we are the ones who perform actions to reach goals. And I think that to him is very important. If something really is his goal, then it only makes sense that he would want all of us who are connected to this holy goal to be holy. If an act is done that is not a holy act, then it soils the goal. In other words, an unholy act will make a goal unholy. We hear this when both Yeshua and Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, speaks about leaven as a sign of sin or a representation of sin. They say that just a little leaven leavens the whole batch. The shortcut taken to accomplish Adonai's plan, when even just a little bit sinful, will make the whole action sinful. Just like the leaven makes the whole batch sinful, your actions can do the same thing. Now, this doesn't mean that Adonai cannot use it, but he won't be happy towards those who take the actions that are not his. And there are those in the world who would say, you know, there are only so many ways to accomplish something. So if I have to stray off the path just a little bit, that's okay, as long as I'm doing what he wants ultimately. Adonai would say, this is my goal, and it has to be done my way. A holy goal must be completed by holy means. So we're left to ask us a couple of questions, important questions. Is saving a soul of another person more important than keeping your own soul right? Or is it ever okay to do wrong to do Adonai's work? Is it better to do whatever it takes to accomplish a right? Or does Adonai want us to remain righteous in our work for him, even if it means not getting the thing we think he wants done, done? Shaul writes to Titus, one of the Talmudim, or disciples, what to teach the people that are there with him after learning that they were hearing false teachings. Shaul says this to Titus. He writes this to Titus in 3:14. And let our people learn to devote themselves to doing mitzvot, to meet urgent needs, so they will not be unfruitful. There are urgent needs, we're told there. And Adonai wants the people to be fruitful, we're told. But there is a right way to do it. It's described there as a mitzvot. Adonai wants us to do good deeds for him and for the betterment of others, but by doing it the right way is perhaps even more important than the actual getting it done. We should remember that whatever happened, we should remember what happened to Abraham, who wanted the right thing, but really went about it in an unrighteous way. His own way, in fact. He was told that he was going to have a promised child. And that child turned out to be Isaac. But he tried to do it himself first with the help of Sarah. Sarah gave him Hagar, the handmaiden, to be his wife, to have a child, instead of waiting for Adonai. Because, hey, they were getting old. Maybe they were more than just getting old. They already were old. He did what he thought was right, or he thought what was rightness. But it was not a righteous act with Hagar. Thus, Ishmael was produced from that act, whom Adonai says will be blessed. Ishmael will be blessed eventually. But for now and then, he was a thorn and is a thorn in the side of Israel, even today. Someday, Ishmael and his people will be a blessing for Adonai and to Israel, but not right now, due to that rightness act instead of a righteousness act that Adonai was looking for. And we can apply the verses of Proverbs 30 to the actions of Abraham. Proverbs 30, verse 12 through 14 says this: "There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, and yet is not cleansed from its filth. There is a generation whose eyes are so haughty, whose eyelids are lifted up disdainfully. There is a generation whose teeth are swords and whose molars are knives to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among humanity." Now, I'll agree, this is pretty harsh to apply towards Abraham. But the first part is absolutely true. They took Hagar, they meaning Sarah and Abraham, trying to do on their own what Adonai wanted done, a promised child. They did what they thought was right. But Adonai did not see it the same way. Sarah giving Hagar to Abraham to have a child was not the way that Adonai had wanted things done to produce the promised child. Abraham may have been pure in his own eyes, thought he was right in what he was doing, but it was not the righteous act that Adonai was looking for. I am sure Abraham thought he was doing right. Even thought this was the way to do what Adonai wanted to get done. But it was not what Adonai thought was a clean act. I know he and Sarah thought it's the only way to get it done. But it was not Adonai's way. Therefore, it was not a righteous way. It may have been a rightness way to Abraham, but it was not a righteous way to Adonai. I believe for that moment, Adonai thought of Abraham the same way that Jeremiah spoke in Jeremiah 17. So we'll go back to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says this. Actually, we don't go back to it. It's the first time. I thought we were going back to it second. We'll go back to Jeremiah later, but for now, Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, starting there. Thus says Adonai, cursed is the one who trusts in man and depends on flesh as his arm, and whose heart turns from Adonai. For he will be like a bush in the desert. He cannot see goodness when it comes, but will dwell in parched places in the wilderness, a salt land where no one lives. Blessed is the one who trusts in Adonai, whose confidence is in Adonai. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, spreading out its roots by a stream. It has no fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green. It does not worry in a year of drought, nor depart from yielding fruit. Abraham in his life was both the beginning of that those verses and the end of those verses. He had not trusted, and he came to trust. Trying to do things in a way that is not righteous is trying to do things in your own way. The means does not justify the ends. Even when the end result is that which Adonai wants, Adonai is just as concerned with the way things are done as he is with the results. The result, he can get on his own. If he really wants it, he can do it on his own. He doesn't need you. He wants you, but he doesn't need you. But the way that it gets done, that's up to you. It's really up to him, and it's up to you to follow him, to do it the way he wants it done. That's called trust. That's called faith. It's not up to you to get the results, believe it or not. It's not up to you to get the results. Regardless of what you feel needs to be done, blessings come to those who walk in the path of Adonai, not those who try to meet him at the end of the race, taking a shortcut off the course he wanted you to run. Look at what Yeshua says in the Sermon on the Mount about who will be blessed. Matthew 5, 6, starting there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Yeshua does not once mention, blessed is he who achieves my goal. It's all about their actions. It's all about their heart attitudes. The one who hungers for righteousness are going to be blessed. And the ones who show mercy are the ones who are going to be blessed. Peacemakers will be called the sons of God when they are doing the things of righteousness. The actions are more important than the goal. Going back to the book of Jeremiah, I know I was getting back there sooner or later. We're told about his heart. We're told about our heart and the things and the ways that we get things done, or the way we should be getting things done. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. Who can know it? Adonai searches the heart. I try the mind and give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deeds. As a partridge that broods over young that she did not lay, so is the one who gets wealth unjustly. In the middle of the days, it will be abandoned. It will abandon him. So at the end, he will be a fool. Now, a partial reading of that says that Adonai looks at the fruit of the deeds. It sounds like he's looking at the end result. But to understand that, we have to read verse 10. I mean, in order to understand verse 10, we have to read verse 11. It says that the one who gets wealth, or in other words, the one who gets the results unjustly, unrighteously, even if they are the wealth and the results that Adonai wanted for you, if done unjustly, unrighteously, they will not last in the end, and you will be a fool. That's what it says. When we look at Psalm 18, David said why the reward is given to people. Psalm 18, starting in 21. Adonai rewarded me for my righteousness. For the cleanness of my hands he repaid me. For I kept the ways of Adonai and did not turn wickedly from my God. For all his judgments are before me. I did not put his rulings away from me. David says the reward was based on righteousness, his righteousness and his clean hands. It does not mention the actual results of the actions. Adonai could get the results he wants. I've said this over and over again because it's true. He could do it himself, but he wants you to do it. And he wants you to do it his way, his righteous way. He wants to use us. And when he does use us, we are to act in a righteous way to get those results. King David's son, King Solomon, tells us why it's important to act righteously and with clean hands in Proverbs 11, starting 11:18. The wicked earn deceptive wages, but a sower of righteousness reaps a true reward. Steadfast righteousness leads to life, but pursuing evil leads to death. Perverse hearts are an abomination to Adonai. His favor is on those who's blameless in their ways. Be sure, the evil will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. Sowing or acting out of righteousness is what reaps reward. At least from Adonai. It may reap rewards in the world, but that's not going to last, we're told. It doesn't say that getting to the finish line in your own way is the way to the reward. But doing it in a righteous way is the way to eternal reward. Evil for the sake of Adonai is still, exactly, it's still evil. And will be judged as evil. Sin for the sake of Adonai is still sin. And will be judged as sin. Tearing down someone for Adonai's sake is still tearing down and will be judged as a sin. Because the person you're tearing down is a person that Adonai wants to bring to salvation. And you're tearing them down is not the way to do it. Verse 19 of that which we just read tells us why it's important for us. When Solomon says life and death, he's speaking about eternity, not just this life that we're living right now. This is or should be the big difference between the thinking of believers and the thinking of the world. The world judges by what is happening to the people in this life right now. Adonai's judgment can be seen by what happens in eternity to us. Therefore, what is happening now, though important to Adonai, is not the be-all and end-all. When looking at a war, don't look at the individual battles. But the overall outcome is what we're supposed to be looking at. The battles of life are important to Adonai. Absolutely. But the victory of the war, the final outcome, is the eternal outcome. And that, I believe, is his utmost concern. Righteousness means Adonai's way no matter what. And trusting in him so that even if evil wins a single battle, knowing that Adonai wins the war. In the world, rightness, by bringing people down, is okay to win. Being rightness means lifting up. Being righteous means lifting up Adonai's creation, regardless of how the outcome looks or unfolds. If Adonai wants it, faith says it will happen regardless of what you see in the physical during the time that you're currently in. Know this. Rightness is self-centered, and it seeks looking good to others, and it's works related. It's works related because you look good to others based on what you're doing. Rightness puts aside the work of Yeshua for salvation and of the Ruach HaKodesh to accomplish his plans. Rightness says, I must. No matter what, I must. Adonai wants, therefore I must. Regardless of what, how I have to do it, I must. Being righteous means having faith and trust in Adonai and that he cannot lose. If he is within you and you have trust, meaning that you have faith, you cannot lose the war, regardless of the battles you fight, win or lose. The most important outcome is the final outcome of salvation for eternity. Temporary rightness is not salvation and can pull you from eternal salvation. How? It can pull you from trust. It can pull you from faith in him. And it will focus you on yourself and on your own ways and plans. Think about this. The Pharisees acted out of a rightness when they confronted Yeshua. If they did not just want to be right, and instead of wanting to be right, they tried to be righteous when confronting Yeshua, they would have talked to him and not fought with him. Through righteousness instead of rightness, they may have found the truth about Messiah Yeshua, but they missed it because of their rightness. Righteousness means following his commands, including love everyone, even those who do not agree with you. Love can be pointing out errors, absolutely, as long as you do it in love. But name-calling or being harsh is not acting out of love. It's not following his commandments. So we have to be careful about how we do things, whether we're doing it in our own rightness or in his righteousness. We have to acknowledge that we are not called to always be right, but we are called to always be righteous. We must be careful not to be self-righteous. Self-righteousness is rightness. Now, people say you're just being self-righteous. The same as saying, you're just being rightness. Yeshua tells us of a people who were self-righteous in Matthew 7. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. Their acts of rightness did not make for righteousness. They did the right things, but with the wrong heart attitudes. We must be careful in our actions. We have to ensure that righteousness actually produces our works, instead of looking for our works to produce a rightness. Know that Adonai has a plan for each of our lives. That plan is to become righteousness for him. But only through Yeshua, as Shaul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made the one who knew no sin to become a sin offering on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Yeshua died so that we could become the righteousness of Adonai. If we were to act in ways that are not righteous, but right in our own eyes, we negate the work of Yeshua and the plan of Adonai for us individually and for our salvation. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word that shows us the difference between righteousness and rightness. Ruach HaKodesh, we ask for your guidance. We ask that you show us where we're acting out of rightness instead of righteousness. We ask that you help us to turn ourselves back to your path. Ruach HaKodesh, enlighten our path. Show us your righteousness so that we can make your righteousness our righteousness, and then we can be the righteousness of God. Sounds funny. God has a righteousness of his own, but he wants us to become righteousness of God, children of his, followers of his way. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to become children and followers of Adonai. Help us not to walk even just a little bit off the path, so that we may do as you would have us do, so that we may be able to bring others into your light, so that we may have eternity before your presence. We thank you that your word points us directly to you. May our feet always walk directly to you. May our eyes always be only upon you. Amen and amen. That's his calling for us, right?